Welcome to this special edition podcast from The Way, the Ignatian Journal of Christian Spirituality, published by the Jesuits in Britain. My name is Philip Harrison, and I'm the editor, and I'm joined here today by John Russell, who's going to talk to us a little bit about the theme of the body and prayer. That was the theme of the St. Bino's Conference this year, and The Way is publishing a special issue devoted to the topic. For those who don't know, John is an Anglican minister who works at the London Jesuit Centre in the area of spirituality. John, could you tell us a bit about your background?
Hi Phil, good to join you today and meet you in person. I discovered Ignatian spirituality about 12 years ago now. I actually came to a 8-week beginner's course in Ignatian spirituality in the centre that I now work in. Made a 19th annotation retreat while I was at theological college, did a 3-year training course in Ignatian spiritual direction, and then a 30-day retreat in Lyra a couple of years ago. And eventually I decided to leave parish ministry in Anglican Church in order to be able to come and engage in full-time spirituality work with the Jesuits. Which I absolutely love. A lot of confirmation and consolation in that discernment. I get to focus all of my energy and attention on Ignatian spirituality, on spiritual accompaniment, on teaching, on training, on supervision, continuing development for Ignatian practitioners. And I'm also a yoga and a breathwork teacher. So I run a course called Embody at the London Jesuit Centre, which teaches yoga postures and breath work from a Christian Ignatian perspective. And I lead a yoga and breath work retreat called Altered States at St. Bino's in North Wales a couple of times a year.
And you were one of the speakers at that St. Bino's conference on the theme of body and prayer, which brings together both academics but also spiritual practitioners each year in North Wales. But as I understand it, the atmosphere there is a bit different from a normal conference. Do you want to say a bit about what it was like?
Well, it was a nice mixture of theory and practice. Because I was offering workshops of my own, I wasn't free to join in with everything else. So I heard all of the keynote speakers, but wasn't able to get to all of the workshops where the more practical side of things tended to be happening. But I was able to go to Nick Austin's workshop looking at Alexander technique through Ignatian eyes, and he led a practice in what he was calling constructive rest, which wove Ignatian spirituality into Alexander technique in a way that I really enjoyed. And then some of the best bits of the conference are conversations you get into with other people that have rocked up there and finding out what's giving them life at the moment.
And what was your particular contribution to the conference? What can you tell us about the relationship between body and prayer?
Well, I gave workshops on breath at the conference, which was very much experiential practice rather than theory. And then just a few days before the conference, Ruth Holgate asked me if I could step in and lead embodied prayer for everyone in the morning just before the keynote speaker started. That was wonderful to do and seemed to go down very well with people, and I had them all stepping into their warrior-esque selves and grabbing imaginary archers' bows and firing arrows of intentional desire across the conference hall. Relationship between body and prayer. Well, I suppose it's probably a fairly obvious thing to say that a lot of spiritualities have a problematic relationship with the human body. They're often working with some kind of body-spirit binary opposition way of thinking, and they're suggesting that in order for us to become more spiritual, we need to somehow escape from our messy, compromised human bodies into a purer, higher spiritual realm. And you could identify certain strands of Christian doctrine and practice as being particular examples of that, although that body-spirit binary exists in a lot of other religious traditions as well. Christianity is not not the only religion that has struggled with the body. And an embodied spirituality wants to challenge that body-spirit binary, to celebrate our bodies as a marvelous part of God's creation, as one of the most complex phenomena in existence, a divine gift that we should respect and cherish and revere, and discover how the body can be a space of divine encounter. There's been a lot of neuroscientific research over the past 10-15 years that's particularly triggered by the growth of the mindfulness movement, looking to understand different forms of meditation and embodied practice and gather empirical evidence for what methods seem to be the most beneficial. And although as empirical scientists, they tend not to acknowledge God as being an important contributor to prayer, their conclusions are nevertheless really fascinating as to what, from the human side of that conversation of prayer, we might be able to do to help ourselves be most open and receptive to God's grace. To put it very simply, you might think of it in terms of an equation. Posture plus breath plus intention equals transformation. Or if you wanted to sound terribly Ignatian, you could say posture plus breath plus desire equals transformation, which is just to say that the more we can bring the whole of our embodied system of human beingness into prayer and activate the body and the breath alongside our intentions, our desires, then the deeper, the more wholehearted, and therefore the more transformative our prayer can become.
And of course, Ignatian spirituality has played a really important part in rediscovering the importance of the body in Christian prayer. St. Ignatius is very attentive to the body in the spiritual exercises through posture and gesture and the application of the senses. He invites us to inhabit the gospel so that we can develop that interior knowledge of Jesus who has become human for us. What have the spiritual exercises got to teach us about the body in prayer?
Well, for the past dozen years or so, Ignatian spirituality has spoken to me with a depth and a richness that I've not found before in my faith journey. And partly that's because for me, Ignatian spirituality is a very embodied spirituality. It's a very effective spirituality. It's extremely interested in our feelings and our desires. It understands spiritual movements as being active at all levels of our being, including the prompting system of our body. That in order to discern spiritual movements, to understand and negotiate our excessive attachments and make ourselves as free as we can be to both notice and take up the invitations that God offers us, we need to become interested in our moods and our feelings and our desires that all have mental and physical aspects to them. I remember that for me, the gift of making the spiritual exercises for the first time was very much that I felt I came to know what Jesus felt like, which was very different to all of the mental constructs that I had from Bible study and theology. But I came to know what Jesus felt like in myself, and that then quite soon after that, that I could also feel that same quality in what someone else was saying. Often on spiritual direction training courses, when we're talking about Ignatian discernment of spirits, we use that hand gesture of rubbing your thumb and your fingers together. And we use that to indicate that we often recognize the presence and activity of the Holy Spirit through some sort of felt knowledge, a taste, a touch, a quality that feels real and authentic and true and good and of God.
And John, you're somebody who really lives what you teach through an integration between your faith and your life and your work. Could you share any experiences that particularly opened your eyes to the importance of the body and prayer?
Well, I started out as an academic studying literary theory and then law. I was a very heady person. I've never done a proper Enneagram workshop, but I think I'm probably a five. You know, I liked living in my magical mind palace, and the real world and other human beings were a bit of a puzzling intrusion to me. And I've always been a contemplative. So before I became an Anglican, I was a Quaker for 10 years. And that for me meant sitting absolutely motionless, eyes closed, in meeting for worship. And over the course of an hour of very still and silent prayer, I would feel like I established a connection with a God who seemed very far away in some transcendent spiritual realm. And I would have sometimes very intense but thoroughly out-of-body prayer experience. And then my conversion from Quakerism to Anglicanism was a tremendously physical experience. Quakers have no set liturgy at all, but I'd stumbled across liturgical prayer and I'd begun saying the daily office to myself. And over the next few weeks, I had the most intense experience of God moving, and that God was no longer far away in the heavens beyond the firmament, but suddenly now around me and in my body. I remember having a really visceral sensation of feeling spiritual energy climbing up my spine and spreading out across my shoulder blades, and that feeling incredibly grounding and healing and strengthening. And I'm sure it's no coincidence that it was around that time that I'd begun to do yoga. I'd had chronic lower back pain for a long time. A friend suggested I try yoga classes. So I'd begun to experience my body in a new way, been encouraged to be in my body, to notice my body, to engage with my body, to learn from my body. And I think that really seemed to awaken something or release something. And what had been for me up until that point a quite transcendent, out-of-body spirituality that was a bit disconnected from my everyday life, a bit compartmentalized, now became something which was also much more embodied and imminent and woven into the whole of my being and my living.
And it strikes me that liturgy is one of the areas where we need to learn a lot about the relationship between body and prayer, because lots of inhibitions come in to our use of the body when we're with other people. What do you think we still have to learn about bringing our bodies to the liturgy?
Well, I was trained for the priesthood at a very traditional Anglo-Catholic college, very much in the liturgical tradition of noble simplicity. So I'm not particularly inclined to want to mess around with the Eucharist in any way. Personally, I most enjoy a nice, quiet, simple midweek Eucharist, focus on praying into the words, listening to the gospel, focusing on the sacrament and keeping any avoidable distractions to a minimum. And I want to be much more creative and radical with embodiment than just trying to, I don't know, squeeze in a few extra hand gestures into the authorized liturgy. My answer, and I don't know if I speak here with the freedom of an Anglican priest, was to create new embodied liturgies. That was certainly my intention when I began to bring my training as an embodiment practitioner into a church context. I remember when we went into the first COVID lockdown and churches began to move their services online, I was asked if I would lead morning prayer online. And that to me felt like quite a disheartening prospect, just to offer people a virtual copy of a pre-existing set vocal liturgy that they would prefer to attend in person, with all the challenges of trying to pray the daily office on Zoom at a time when most people weren't at all used to using that software. And I wanted to see if we could somehow mitigate some of the separation and disembodiment of meeting online and enable everyone to feel as much as possible that they were fully present and participating. So I began creating online embodied prayer every morning that used posture and breath alongside vocal prayer. And that went down really well with people. And rather than just trying to duplicate a pre-existing verbal liturgy online, it was something new and special that Zoom enabled us to do together, because it wouldn't have really worked in person in the church building. Create a real sense of joy and online community. And as the days ticked by, we started to attract people who weren't previously churchgoers, but had kind of heard about this new embodied morning session that someone was leading online. And it became a way of introducing people who weren't used to praying how sustaining and fruitful prayer could be at a time when lots of people in lockdown were really struggling emotionally and spiritually. So my inclination with embodied liturgy is to tend to want to create something new, or to very radically reimagine something in an embodied form, rather than just trying to squeeze a little bit of embodiment to what's already there. That just feels like quite a restrictive starting point that's probably not going to have a very satisfactory or impactful outcome. And when you've cultivated a sense of embodied presence for yourself and you're more tuned into your body, however you might have done that, whether that is, I don't know, yoga or dance or Tai Chi or joining a community choir, then I think you carry that new awareness with you wherever you go, including into the Eucharist, and you experience authorized liturgy differently with those fresh levels of awareness and being in your body, being your body in a new way.
Over the last century, there was a recuperation of the importance of the body in prayer, both from the Christian traditions and also from other faith traditions. We live in a changing world where there are new technologies like virtual reality and artificial intelligence, which really challenge our understanding of the body. What new horizons do you see opening up in the way in which we use our bodies in prayer today?
Well, the church is full of pendulums where we swing one way for a decade or two, and then we react and swing the other way. And the Christian interest in embodied spirituality tends to wax and wane, at least since the 1960s. We regularly seem to rediscover that Western Christianity seems very disembodied, and then some people get very interested in embodied spirituality for a little while, and then it seems to fade away until someone rediscovers it again. So I'm a little hesitant to proclaim a new age of Christian embodiment, much as I would love to see that. I said that the body-spirit binary opposition exists in a lot of religions, but it really is quite curious to me that a church that worships an incarnational God made flesh doesn't have embodiment at its heart. And I wonder whether the church's erratic interest in embodiment could be something to do with embodiment leading on to topics of sex, gender, and sexuality, which our church can struggle with. That to really embrace embodiment means to embrace our particular bodies, male bodies, female bodies, trans bodies, gay bodies, queer bodies. It's no accident that in academia, embodiment theory has been most associated with feminism and queer theory, often by people engaging with the foundational stories of a historically Christian culture, like the creation of Adam and Eve and wanting to engage with them and reimagine them, because they felt that some of the traditional ways that these stories had been presented were privileging cisgender heterosexual men and causing real harm to women, to trans people, to gay people. So I think the church has a lot of attraction to a more embodied spirituality, but also probably a lot of resistance to some of the challenges that embodiment might bring with it. So who knows? We may soon decide we want to re-emphasize again the transcendence of God and all get very mystical and apophatic for a while. But I don't think embodiment is going anywhere just yet in our wider culture. At the moment, it seems a necessary counterbalance to our increasingly online world and the leaps forward in artificial intelligence that you mentioned, that then provoke lots of questions about what does it mean to be human, and what are the qualities of being present physically and digitally. Modern trauma theory is having quite a large cultural impact that I think is far from exhausted. Contemporary neuroscience is only just beginning to discover the importance of the vagus nerve, the fascia, the intestines, that lots of the bodily tissues that for centuries were just thought to be inert and passive are being discovered to be highly active and communicative and to store embodied memory. We're beginning to see the emergence of new forms of somatic therapies, new concepts of resonance and attunement. As I said, I think embodiment is particularly intrinsic to Ignatian spirituality. In our desire to share Ignatian spirituality with new audiences in the culture where we are, it makes sense for us to emphasize that at the moment, because we want to engage with what's already there, with what God is already doing, and to offer Ignatian spirituality in ways that are accessible and relevant to people, to go in through their door. And that Ignatian spirituality and accompaniment can itself also be further enriched by meeting and engaging with that wider cultural moment. So I think we've barely scratched the surface, the skin of embodiment so far. I think there's much further for us to go, both broader and deeper in terms of fleshing out a fully embodied Ignatian spirituality, in terms of offering spaces of embodied spiritual encounter, in training people in Ignatian spiritual accompaniment, making links with ecological and social concerns, to really reclaim respect for the body, love for the body, to encourage people to look upon the body, their own body, other bodies, all bodies, as the greatest of God's creations.
John, thank you very much for speaking to us today. You've shared a great insight that we can deepen about how we can be attentive to our own bodies in prayer, but also to the bodies of other people in our society, our community, and our culture, in order to deepen our relationship with God. We're publishing a special issue of The Way based on the theme of the body and prayer, which will be available in the summer. And you can find out more details at www.theway.org.uk. Thank you all for listening, as you, the church, and I we'll try and deepen our understanding of the importance of that relationship between body and prayer.